Okay.
Welcome to the Volleyball Source Podcast. This is episode number 50.
Oh.
That's not 50. That's almost as bad as when I couldn't add by 10. My name is Cameron.
And I'm Everett.
And we are home. Well, I'm home. You were in my house.
Mm-hmm. It feels like home.
Familiar scene. Mm-hmm. We had a very long weekend in Quebec City.
Very long, but very successful.
It was great. We had about 10 videos that we recorded. If you haven't seen them, you should go check them out. They're on our YouTube page and on our website, volleyballsourcemag.com. Yeah.
We talked to, who do we talk to? We talked to assistant coach Vincent Pichette.
We did.
We talked to Justin Duff.
We talked to Gavin Schmidt.
Gavin Schmidt.
We talked to Dustin Schneider. We talked to
Dallas Sunius and Kieran McGovern.
We talked to Brenda Willis from the Queens Gales, checking up with her. We talked to the setter from the Netherlands national team, Namir Abdulaziz.
He's 21 years old.
Very young.
He's 21 years old.
Did we say Justin Duff?
We said Justin Duff. But okay. He actually is a physical phenomenon. He touches the only players on the national team, on our national team, who do not touch as high as Namir are Gavin Schmidt, Justin Duff, and Fred Winters. Yeah. And he's 21 years old and a setter.
He is going to lead that country too soon and really help bring that program along.
Absolutely.
I don't know how they are ranked so low in the world.
Well, I know. You know, you when you play in Europe, it's hard to get out of it.
That makes sense. But we have other World League things to get to. Canada wasn't the only nation competing.
No, the rest of Pool C in its entirety was competing. The only pool competing on the opening weekend. So everyone in our pool has played two games. Korea, surprisingly enough,
yes,
has won both their games. Against Japan.
Yes.
I would have thought Japan would have had the edge in the Korea-Japan battle, but not only that, but they won both the games in four sets, which means they get the full 3 points for each match.
Yeah.
Portugal and Finland split their matches. Portugal losing the first one 3-0 to Finland. I was watching it a bit in the Montreal train station. It really looked to me as Portugal was not ready to play.
Hmm.
They came back, won it in five the second night. So Finland sits in second place with 4 points. Canada and the Netherlands are tied in third with 3 points. Portugal sits in fifth with one. And then Japan rounds it all out with no points. And apparently I'm getting a game center app.
Oh.
Notification on my cell phone.
Look at you, not turning the cell phones off on the show.
Oops.
Everett, so wild. So yes, we will be in Mississauga this upcoming weekend and the weekend after for World League. So this upcoming weekend, we played Portugal.
Yeah.
And then the weekend after, we are hosting Korea.
And if you don't know this yet, which you should, 7 p.m. on both nights.
Yes, Friday, Saturday.
On all four nights, actually.
And then Friday, Saturday again.
So you really don't have any excuse not to be there.
You'll be done by 10.
Because the games will be, you'll be at home by 10, which means you can still have time to go out.
And enjoy your evening.
Absolutely.
Whatever that may be.
You can get in a beautiful team dinner before, somewhere in Mississauga.
Yeah.
Beforehand, lots of great stuff around there. And we're expecting to see tons of red and white in the crowd. It's only a 5,000 people stadium. So let's fill the house. Let's pack it. Let's be nice, loud, and rowdy.
Yes. And if you saw us in this kind of Everett's call to action last episode to kind of challenge the Toronto fans to come out, wave hi, call our name, say, mm-hmm. Hey, Cam, Everett, we had a bunch of people in Quebec waving to us from the stands. And we love that. So come up to us, say hi. Everett will sign things because he's famous now after swearing on television, and it'll be a lovely old time.
It will be a great old time.
Alrighty, let's move on. We have a women's national team roster.
Yes, we finally do.
Da, da, da.
Although the women's national team, as we've mentioned,
that's not it. Let's switch over to it.
As we've mentioned in previous shows, is actually made up of mainly. University players. So the majority of the team that will be competing at the Pan Am Cup as part of the women's national team will also be competing at the 2013 FISHU Summer Games.
Yes. Now, we know your feedback from last episode. We will not, or a couple episodes ago, we will not run down every member of the roster, but we have it there on the screen for you. And if you haven't checked it out, you can check it out on the Volleyball Canada website.
A few notables. Tabby Love, former UCLA Bruin. She's going to be huge on that left side, standing at 6'5". Of course, Shanice Marcel done her time at UBC. Lisa Barclay still, I believe she saw some time at UBC done. But it's definitely going to be an exciting time for our women's national team. We're trying to rebuild for Rio in 2016.
Mm-hmm. So they have the Pan Am Cup, which is June 8th through 17th in Peru. And they also have a roster for that team, their Pan Am Cup team, up on the website. But it looks like we finally have a women's roster. And we talked earlier that the roster this year is lacking both Pavins.
Yeah, both Pavins.
I saw some other people leaving the team. Claire Hanna is no longer on the team. So it is... it's a young team.
It's a young team.
It's a young squad.
Time of transition, and hopefully they can make that push for 2016 in Rio. I mean, London was only last year, but already we're gearing up to Rio.
Yes. Now, let's talk about U23 Worlds. U23 Worlds on the beach are going on right now.
Yep, qualification just finished,
actually. I love the name of this city. My Slow Ice, Poland. It's probably pronounced differently, but if you want to spell it out, My Slow Ice. Fantastic.
My slow ice. It's like when curlers always talking about having like fast or slow ice.
Oh, you had to bring in curling. I'm never going to hear the end of this. So on the women's side, we have Melissa Humana-Paredes and Taylor Pischke. Melissa was on the show a couple weeks ago talking about her very busy summer with this tournament, U23s and FISU Games.
I'm very excited for this team. I think they have an enormous amount of potential. They're both very skilled. Very dedicated professional athletes. I know last year in Halifax, U21s, they weren't happy with their performance. They weren't happy with their finish. And I'm really expecting them to regroup and have a great showing here. Mm-hmm. The qualifier is done. So the second team that was in the qualifier, Denise Wooding and Charlotte Sider of U of T. Charlotte Sider is no stranger to U20 or to the world scene. She's already played two U21 championships. Both of them being in Halifax. Her partner, her University of Toronto Blues teammate, Denise Wooding, her first time on the international tour, but they won their qualifier match against the Czech Republic, and they'll be heading into the main draw. So it looks like we've got two very solid teams in the main draw at the inaugural U23 World Championships.
Yeah, it is the first one.
It is the first one.
Yeah.
And then on the men's side...
we have an issue here.
The trials for the U23 World Championships were at the same time as many of the CIS playoffs. So unless your team was already out of the playoffs, in which case most of our athletes weren't, you didn't actually have the opportunity to try out to go to the World Championships. So instead of sending, our top teams,
Sending the best possible athletes in that age group that we could send,
we ended up sending.
We started the trial selection process with a vastly smaller selection pool because a lot of these players were at CIS or their OUA or Canada West or RSEQ, for example.
So,
playoffs.
Notables. Who have participated in other world championships. No Nick Del Bianco, of course, he'll be participating on the Team BC Canada Games team. No Garrett May. No Dallas Keith, who competed with Garrett May last year. No Fyodor Kazmiaka. The list of all our top athletes, and none of them are there.
Do you not know that these things are going on? If I was running this, I would want the best players possible. And
absolutely.
I would reschedule the trials to be in... you can't please everybody. I understand that. But when you have a significant number of our CIS athletes who are,
Beach players,
and playing the sport at such a high level, and former team members of these U21 teams, why not... reschedule the trials ever so slightly. Just push it a couple weeks. Because it's not like they needed to have the rosters by a certain date.
You know what? I'm sure they did. You know,
just do it in a time that makes sense.
It sounds to me, it looks to me as though, you know, there was a missing communication. Rather, whether it's from the FIVB to Volleyball Canada or Volleyball Canada to, you know, its constituents.
It's frustrating.
It is frustrating that we're not sending our best athletes. But at the end of the day, we are sending two teams. Berlacu and Simone from Windsor University. And Will Hui and Will Sidgwick, the team of Wills from Queen's University. Will Sidgwick is the only one among them who has participated that's not true. I'm pretty sure Greg Simone participated at U19s last year, if I'm not correct. Maybe U21s.
We'll have to look it up.
We'll have to look it up. But at the end of the day, we're not sending our top athletes. We're not sending our best players. And it's frustrating, especially since Canada's had such a great finishes in the past 4 or 5 years at you know, junior and youth. So you'd expect the same results at U23 as well. You know, gold medals, silver medals, bronze medals, fourth places finishes. 2 years ago in Halifax, on the guys' side, there was a ninth place, a fifth place, and a fourth place finish. And, of course, Belascu and Simone competing in the qualifier lost their first match to Switzerland. And then we'll see how Will Hui and Sidgwick do.
They are in the main draw.
They are in the main draw, so they will be competing tomorrow.
Alrighty, so that is it for U23 Worlds. Let's get to our guest of the week, shall we?
Yes, well, before, I find it very apropos that we're interviewing this guest today, because it is Tim Horton's camp day today.
Well, it's Tim Horton's camp day.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go to Tim Horton's and you buy a coffee to send a kid to camp, and we are now interviewing Ian Ebbett, the director of Madawaska. So here it is. We are now joined on the podcast by the one and only Ian Ebbett, camp director at the world's best volleyball camp, Madawaska. Ian, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here with you guys.
Thanks for joining us on the program. So let's get a little background on yourself. How and when did you get started in the sport of volleyball?
Wow. I was originally a Scarborough Solars guy. There wasn't very many club volleyball teams when I played volleyball way back in the day. Early to mid-80s I played, and then was successful enough to play in the 87 Canada Games program, which was actually coached by Oris Stanko. There's a name from the past for everybody. And Brenda Willis was actually my assistant coach that year, so that's 26 years ago. That'll give you an age reference for Brenda. There you go, Brenda. There's a little fun for you. And then actually that's how I got my first exposure to Madawaska. We were the demo kids that came up to camp 1 year. And 26 years later, I find myself in a very fortunate position of being around a ton of great people running an amazing camp.
That's fantastic. So how exactly did you fall into being the director at Madawaska?
Great question. Originally, when I was at camp, I was one of the first few people that was pushing beach. At Madawaska, beach was a bad word very many years ago. I sort of was a beach player. I left the indoor scene, saw the importance of the growth of beach at Madawaska, started the first ever beach program there, that we created a camp. That did very, very well, sold out every year, and it still does every year, actually. And then just through time, attrition, and I guess hanging around long enough, when the camp was purchased almost I guess we're in our seventh year. Actually, we may be closer to our 10th year with our new owners. They approached me and asked me if I would consider being the director.
Now, is Madawaska for you? Can you explain it to us in a few words what that place means to you and your family?
Wow, that is a great question, a powerful one too. It is a tremendous sense of family for us. I tell people all the time that the two greatest things volleyball can give you are friendships and memories, and the ability to work with so many great staff. I think even more importantly, to meet 400 to 500 new kids every summer and have a positive impact on their life. That's a pretty empowering feeling. The thing I love the most about Madawaska is, and I do this every year, it's when I first pull into camp, I turn everything off in the car, I lower the windows, I take in the sounds when I leave Highway 28, And within minutes, I feel like I've picked up exactly where we left off the year before. That's a special feeling.
Now, talk to us a little about your wife. Obviously, this is a huge undertaking to be taking alone. And I know from being a camper and a coach and a CIT that Carrie has a huge impact and a huge role at camp. Give us a run through of how much work Carrie does behind the scenes.
Yeah, absolutely, Everett. It's a great question. The analogy I use with people all the time is that camp is the shiny car. I'm just the hood. Carrie's the engine that makes camp run year-round. We work 365 out of the house. Well, I guess we take 2 weeks off to actually go up to camp, but it's a year-round operation. Carrie is amazing with the family. She's the one that deals with registrations, busing, logistics, homesick moms, all the medical needs. She really is the person that makes camp tick. It's funny when people get to meet her on the first day, they're always relieved to actually put a face with a name, but she's a huge part of what we do at Madawaska.
All right, so Ian, when I first went to Madawaska, I was lucky enough to go to Madawaska 1 year. It was the summer of 2004. It was an Olympic year, and we had an event that was kind of like Olympics themed, where each cabin had a different country. What are some of the events that bring the summers together and have, maybe not specifically volleyball related, but still, general camp events that you have maybe planned for this year?
I think that's what kind of maybe separates Madawaska from other camps. There are so many great volleyball camps in Ontario and Canada. I think the one thing that we bring to the table that's a little bit different and an overnight setting creates that is we have traditions that we've maintained. Each night we have a different theme. We did switch up something about 5 years ago, which has been met with huge popularity, and that's Madawaska's Got Talent. That's our last major event of the week. It's a Friday night, staff audition, kids audition. This is really an amazing program. I cannot believe how talented kids are. For years we did Skit Night. It was painful and long. Switched to Madawaska's Got Talent, and it's huge. Kids compete for a huge, very cheesy trophy, but it's still a great honor. And that's taken off. We have a campfire night we introduced about 10 years ago, which I think really captures what outdoor camping is all about. We have a dance, a lot of cologne at the dance.
It's Axe, actually. It's
Lot of Axe. But we have traditions we've maintained, but we're always trying to improve the program. One thing I'm really excited about is we went to outdoor opening programming on the Sunday night, and we open up camp now with what's called the lighting of the M at a huge fireworks show. So it's really cool. And you'll see some of these images up on Madawaska on our Facebook site, and there's some videos I've seen. But we always try to add a little twist every year.
Just for the record, I am known to be part of one of the greatest moments of Madawaska's Got Talent. If you can find it somewhere on YouTube, me dancing in a pair of green tights to Beyonce.
I am known as one of the worst reasons and probably one of the reasons why you guys canceled Skit Night. So I'm glad that we have a good yin and yang here, Everett.
Well, it was time to switch for sure.
Now, talk about the support staff, the coaching at Madawaska. There's, of course, a few big names
More than a few
big names that do show up. You know, Paul Durden was back for the first time last year. I'm there year after year.
Oh, tooting his own horn.
And you are kind of a big deal.
I am a big deal. I should have bought one of those shirts.
With respect to staff, I say the end product of our camp is really a direct result of the amazing people we have there. So, yes, we do have a guest coach model this year. We have a couple of nice surprises. We do have Dustin Reed returning from Ryerson again. Dustin's a huge figure at camp and has grown in his importance at camp each year. Lionel Woods is coming back from the University of Ottawa. I'm currently in negotiations right now with Tim Lukes from MAC. I'm doing some stuff with him, and he's going to try and help me out. I've asked Shane White to come up, who's with the University of Waterloo. And I think the model that we're trying to have this year is it's a huge commitment for people to give the whole week, so we're trying to slot different people in smaller segments throughout the week. A, it brings in a fresh personality every day, and B, it limits their sort of commitment. We're very fortunate. We've got provincial team coaching staff from both the men and women's program this year, which I think is great for these kids to have access to these types of coaches. Great club coaches from all over the province. And I think that's important for people to know about Madawaska is that club colors come off when you go to camp. It's really a collection of 600 plus people that just love the sport. We're everyone's in it together. It's the same feel you get when you're at Nationals, when your arch rivals you try to beat all year, but when you're at Nationals, you root for each other. You give information to each other and our teams, that really the family comes together at camp, which I think is amazing. And the other thing for me is I'm a huge advocate of developing young coaches. I think that this country, we need more female coaches if we can get them. We've established a CIT program. We do NCCP stuff. And I'm really trying to push female coaches or get female players to come back and give back in the sport. So, yeah, ton of great staff. I was saying this to Everett earlier. We have over 95% of our staff back from last year. That really is incredible for that type of setting.
That's fantastic. So I don't think we talked about when camp runs. When is camp running this 2013 summer?
Okay, so it starts the last weekend before Labor Day, which I should know this. I believe it's the 24th. I think staff come in on the 24th. Whatever that Sunday is, it ends Labor Day weekend on this Saturday. And that's historically when volleyball camp has been every year. We get lots of complaints from our great friends from Quebec who unfortunately aren't allowed to attend camp that week because their school goes back a week earlier. But it's always the last week of the summer, and that's a tradition we've tried to maintain. So families can plan their things during the summer and then finish up a volleyball camp. It's also good timing. A lot of parents send their kids to camp to get them reps in before club tryouts. So that seems to be a good fit for everybody.
You know what, those kids from Quebec could always do what I did, just skip the first week of school.
Well, if you want to give them that advice, Everett, I'll leave it all to you.
Go right ahead, Everett. Parents from Quebec, email me personally, Everett@VolleyballSourceMag, and I will convince you that your kid should go to camp, and it's more beneficial than going to the first week of school, where kids don't do anything anyways.
Yeah.
That is true. That is true.
Awesome. Well, Ian, where can people go to find out more about Madawaska?
Well, I guess the first place is our own personal website. It's at www.madawaskacamps.com. We've got a very interactive website. Most of our registrations are online now anyway. It's very user-friendly. You can always call the camp office toll-free. And that number's on the website as well. And you can email Carrie directly at info@madawaskacamps.com. We also have a Facebook site, and we're actually excited about our relationship with Volleyball Source. I think we can even be found on your website.
You certainly can.
Yep, absolutely. Ian, thank you very much for coming on the show. We love having you. We'll have you again for sure. And we are extremely excited to be coming up to camp this year as Volleyball Source Magazine. Of course, I'll be doing double duty as a coach and working for the magazine, but I'm excited for it. I can't wait.
Everett, you're soon going to be a triple threat, but we're happy to have you and Volleyball Source Magazine, and we're excited about this summer. I was looking at our website today. We're 73 days, 18 hours away from the beginning of camp, so get excited. I look forward to seeing everyone soon.
I was excited Labor Day weekend last weekend.
Yeah.
I hope, Cam, you're coming up. I hope you feel the same way again in a different role this year.
I am excited to see what the chants are in the dining room and how they have changed since my last time at camp in 2004. We had some pretty racy stuff going on back then in those days, so I don't know.
Absolutely.
I think the overall theme I got, like in schooling and stuff, is everything's safe now. So hopefully I can kind of like convince some club kids to bring some harsh language back. But you might actually just kick me out. Who knows?
The cheers always get out the first time, and then you get thrown out. So if it's good, you get a laugh, okay. And then you're kicked. Actually, so it's all good.
It's Ian always comes up with the simmer down. And that's when you know if Ian shows up during mealtime on the podium when he's not timed to, you know, something's yeah. gone wrong.
And someone took that court boys joke a little bit too far.
Well, I want every parent watching to at least know their director is somewhat responsible.
Sounds good. All right, Ian, thanks so much for joining us. You can find out more about Madawaska Volleyball Camp. We will be posting the link to their site on our Facebook page and in the show notes to this episode. Ian, thanks so much.
Ian, thank you.
Thanks,
can't wait
guys.
To be up.
Have a great day. Take care, guys.
And welcome back. Excellent to hear from Ian. And I am so stoked to go up to camp again. As I said, I haven't been in a while. And
I haven't been in almost a year.
I have some great memories of that place. And it's been too long, Madawaska.
It has been too long. It hasn't.
Cameron needs his Madawaska fix.
It really should be like a tri-yearly thing.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe four times
Ian
a year.
Needs even more work.
You know what, Ian? Hire me. I'll help you with it.
There you go. Everett working, breaking, like, fourth job now.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so very quickly, we have a Norseca tournament going up on the beach side. This is a Norseca in, how was it, Toluca, Mexico?
Toluca, Mexico. It's going down tomorrow.
We
starts
have
up tomorrow.
Grant O'Gorman, Sam Pedlow representing us on the men's side. We have Simon Fecteau-Boutin and...
Ryan De Bruin.
Ryan De Bruin. I was going to say Sean De Bruin. That doesn't make sense. Ryan De Bruin, Casey McTavish and Kaylee Whitaker, and then Sophie Bukovec. And
Allie Woolley.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of double O's in beach volleyball. We have Hueys, we have Woodings, we have Woolies. It's throwing me off.
Oh, I apologize.
Yeah,
I'll let them know.
You better apologize.
I'll text them all right now and get them to change their names just to facilitate our podcast.
Don't be rude, Everett.
Our podcast experiences. Okay, so we're going to go back to World League real quick. For
yes.
those of you who... maybe don't live in Toronto. Maybe you live in Vancouver or Victoria or St. John's, Newfoundland.
Or maybe you do live in Toronto, but the live or the television coverage will just go down because the arena is flooding once again. That happened last weekend.
Yeah, that did happen. But we do have, it will be shown on Sportsnet this weekend.
It'll be shown on Sportsnet 1.
Yes.
This is a premium channel. It's not part. So like in Toronto, it's channel 22 is Sportsnet. Usually, like, if you have cable, you can get it, or, like, even some normal base packages get it.
Mm-hmm.
Sportsnet 1 is a premium channel, so only if you have, like, a Super Sports pack, some of the Jays pack, like MLB Extra Innings, because all the Jays stuff is always on Sportsnet channels, will you get it. However, if you don't have Sportsnet 1 and you still want to watch the games, or if you just want to watch the games live... We have all the live streaming links
always
on our website, volleyballsourcemag.com.
We've got all your answers.
While the Friday match is going to be streamed live
on Sportsnet,
or sorry, is going to be televised live on mm-hmm. Sportsnet 1, the Saturday match is not.
It's
going to be tape delayed. It's going to start at 11 p.m. Eastern. It will then be replayed again Sunday morning, the following day, at 10 a.m. Eastern on Sportsnet Ontario, Pacific, Atlantic, and East. So, if you want to watch it live with us, either watch Sportsnet 1 for the first match this Friday, or head on over to our website, volleyballsourcemag.com. The second we have those live stream links available to us, we will put them mm-hmm. on our website.
And you may have to refresh. I know last weekend in Quebec, we had been checking constantly throughout the day, and there was nothing there. Once the match got started, we did find them.
The second it started... they came up, so give it about like 3 minutes after the match starts, mm-hmm. and I'm sure I'll have them up by then.
Yep. And if you're going to be there, you know, come down, wear red.
Say hi.
If you can't wear red, Canuck Stuff will be on site to sell you red gear. They can sell
you. Don't see Mark and Freddie.
Jerseys. They can sell you T-shirts. Last weekend, they had a volunteer who looked a lot like Martin Reeder on the show, or not on the show. Sorry, working
in person.
The stand.
He looked like Martin Reeder in person.
Yeah, and you know what? So come down.
It wasn't Martin Reeder.
No, it wasn't Martin Reeder. Let's celebrate volleyball. Actually, Martin Reeder, we better be seeing you at the matches this weekend.
Let's text
this guy. This is an official call out. You need to get your butt in the stands. It doesn't matter if you're a beach player, an indoor player, or a deaf player. You know, we had the deaf beach national team on the show a few weeks ago. Come out. Come support volleyball in Canada. And let's fill the stadium. Let's get two wins for the boys. FTB.
Hey, dude, you better be coming to World League. All right.
Send. Yep. So.
Calling you out, Marty.
We will see you there.
Marty's a good sport. That is it for this episode. Episode 50.
Episode 50.
We have hit the half century club mark. We are middle aged now.
We get
better with age. We are the silver foxes of the volleyball world.
We almost apply for a senior's discount.
Almost. We'll get there. If you want to contact us throughout the week, you can do so by visiting our website, volleyballsourcemag.com. We are also on Twitter. We are at VolleyballSM. And we actually provide live scoring updates for each match mm-hmm. on Twitter. So if you're not able, if you're out and you can't catch the broadcast, you can't catch the live stream, just follow our Twitter feed. And we're on Facebook as well, facebook.com/volleyballsource.
Absolutely. And we really want to see you guys out there this weekend.
You better come. Especially you, Martin.
On pain of death.